Hear now the word of God in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your heart. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took the butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and were stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou did laugh." Amen. Amen. I want to talk about taking the limits off God. Taking the limits of God. Abraham, Sarah, two old people in their 90s, past childbearing years. They have prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. But now they're at the point where they've given up on their prayers. Now they're no longer expected to have a son or have a child. They were too old. And on this particular day, Abraham is minding his own business. He's sitting on the front porch, if you will. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Wasting time. And on this day, he's having his Kool-Aid or whatever he's having on the porch, and there's three men coming. He sees them coming, and he invites them. He offers them hospitality. How many of you grew up down south? You know, down south, we know something about hospitality. You didn't have to have an invitation to stop by the house. people would pull up in those big old DeSotos, blow the horn, get out of the car, and come sit down. You bust open a big watermelon, or you have some white lightning, or whatever you got in the back.
Well,
amen. But you were welcome. You offered hospitality. And in my grandmother's house, I always wondered, you know, the front room was always clean. And, you know, I think that's where we got it from, you know, because most of us got living rooms and nobody ever sit in. It's clean. It's got the best furniture. All kind of artwork. Just never no company. Kids can't sit in there. Grandkids can't sit in there. Boy, get down to the den. I think that's where we got it from, because our ancestors, the living room, the front room, if you will, was always open for hospitality. Abraham sees him coming. He welcomes. He says, stop by. Come on in. Let me kill the fatted calf for you. You know, let's get some milk. Let's get some honey. He goes in and he talks to Sarah. Sarah's in the back room doing whatever she's doing. I don't know. She's cleaning up. She's, you know, she's doing stuff so she can hear what's going on outside. What, the men folk talking. You know, it's a different world now. And she hears them and they're talking and Abraham invites them to stay without talking to his wife first. You know that's a different story.
Well,
I can just see three guys showing up at the house saying, Barbara, why don't you fix dinner? She's going to say, where are we going? But Abraham is the man of his house. So he stops, he invites these three guys to stop, and he talks to Sarah and says to Sarah, fix something, because they are going to stay. And while they are in conversation and while they're eating under the tree out there, and after Sarah has fixed this meal, then they turn around, look at somebody and say, you got to be careful how you entertain strangers. Three guys, they don't know. Abraham don't know who they are. They're strangers. And one of them appears to be God. You never know how God's going to show up. He might not show up in a Cadillac. He might not show up in a Lexus. He might come in a hoopty. He might be walking. He might be like a homeless man. He might show up as somebody who hadn't had a bath in 2 or 3 days. You never know how God's going to show up. You better be careful how you entertain strangers. You may be entertaining somebody who's got the answer to your prayer. They may not look like they got the answer to your prayer, but they might be your answer that you've been praying for all your life. You've been praying for a mate, and he shows up homeless. You say, that can't be my mate. It's amazing what a shower and a haircut can do. And a job.
Gotta be careful how you entertain strangers. So Abraham, he's there, and he invites them to stay.
They break bread together. And they raise the question, where is your wife, Sarah? They knew who his wife was. You know, they didn't say, where's your wife? They said, where is your wife, Sarah? And he said, well, she in the kitchen. Well, no, he said, she in the tent. He didn't say kitchen. Let me make it plain. I know I got some of you female Bible scholars out there. But she in the house.
And he says, by this time next year when I come, Sarah is going to have a child. You're going to have a child. You know the one you've been praying for the last 50 years. You're going to have a child. And Sarah laughs.
I mean, it would be pretty funny, you 90 years old and going to be pregnant.
And Sarah says, what? Sarah said, listen, I've been praying for a child for all these years, And I started praying when I was in my 20s. I prayed all my 20s. I prayed all my 30s. I prayed my 40s. I prayed my 50s. And when I got 60, I gave up. Now, let me tell you something. I'm in my 60s. I know God can do anything. And I'm praying for a whole lot of things. But a child is not one of them. So this text is not about you can have a baby when you're 90. You know, you keep praying, I just want to have a child, I'm 89. No, this prayer is not about that. This prayer is about nothing is impossible for God. If you pray, God can do anything but fail.
We live in a generation. We always trying to bring God down to our level. We trying to make God, you know, in the natural. Look at somebody say, he's a supernatural God. It's a supernatural. He steps into the natural. He can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. Do I have a witness in the house? You have to trust God. He can turn your midnights into day. He can pick you up, turn you around. He can make your enemies your footstool. You've got to trust him. You've got to move out of the safe zone into the faith zone. You got to have a little faith the size of a mustard seed. Look at somebody and say, you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. Don't you limit God. I know I'm limited, but I serve an awesome God. I serve a mighty God. There's some things I can't do, but God can do anything. We live in a generation that they talk about banks are too big to fail. I don't know if a bank is too big to fail, but I know one thing. God is too big to fail. God, Jesus never fails. Do I have a witness in here? He never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sarah's in the house. She overhears the conversation between Abraham and the three guys. How many of you know that sometimes before God can bless you, you got to get to where you're supposed to be. You got to get in position. You got to get ready for God to bless you. You got to act like you want to be blessed. You got to expect a blessing. You just can't sit around and want God to do everything for you. You come praying, Lord, I just got to have a mate. I want me a wife. I want me a husband. Well, get up and stop watching TV sometime. Your Prince Charming ain't coming to your house while you sitting around in curlers watching TV. Get up and go to the mall. Get up and go to church. Get up and go to the gym. Get up and do something for yourself, and God will show up. I found out. If I move, God moves. And if I sit on my rusty dusty, God just waits for me to get in position. God keeps saying, I want to bless you, Jackson. I want to open doors for you, Jackson. I got some blessings in store for you, but you got to get up so you can receive the blessings. If you just go down there and pray a little while, and you just trust me and move forward, I'll move. How many know when the Lord gets ready, you got to move? God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. Look at somebody and just tell them, look at them, say, God's got his fingerprints all over you. Oh, you think you made a mistake. I know you made a couple of mistakes in your life, but God can work it out. God's got his hand on you. You ain't ordinary. You serve an extraordinary God. God is working it out in your life. You've been through this and you've been through that, but I'm still grateful that he did not give up on me. Take the limits. Don't you try to tell me what God can do. Here we got some folk. We act like we try to do everything on our own might. I finished college now. I know I'm going to get a job. I'm smart and all of that. You know. There's a whole lot of smart people. And then sometimes God's blessing you is not about getting in a physical position. You know, it's not always God, you know, it's not all the ways that you got to get in the right location. Sometimes God's got to change your attitude. Sometimes he's got to change your mindset. If he could just get rid of that low self-esteem, he could do something. If he could just get you to thinking that you are valuable. If he just gets you to thinking that you are his child. If you could just get you to think that you are beautiful. If he could just get you to think that you are wonderful. If he could just get you to think you got some gifts, then he could do something. But first, you've got to change your And then, some of us, we just think too small. I hear some young people, it bothers me when I hear a teenager talking about, I ain't gonna fly. I'm not gonna get on no airplane. You're 18 years old. All you gonna do is take the bus for the rest of your life? Don't you know there's a big world out there? I mean, my grandmother got on a plane when she was 75. And she started looking back, talking about, boy, I should have flew a long time ago. Dream big. Think big. And then believe big. I mean, it takes just as much energy to believe small as it does to believe big. You might as well just believe. If you're going to believe you can get a job at McDonald's, you might as well think you can own one. Might as well. Here's what I want you to get. Don't put brakes on God. Don't limit God because of small thinking. Thing in the world is a small-minded Christian who think they can't do no more than what their own intellect. We serve a big God. Let's read this story about this little child playing the piano. He's about 3 or 4 years old. Every day he'd go over there and play chopsticks. I play chopsticks. Where you at, Elder? Every day. Come on. Yeah. Every day. Every day. And the father said to him, you know, your fingers are too small. You're not big enough for piano lessons. Every day he'd go play chops. Same thing over and over again. It was in it. And finally his father took him, there was a great master pianist coming to town. Father took him to the concert, little guy. And his father wasn't looking, the boy ran up to the stage. There was a grand piano on the stage. Guess what he played? Dun, 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 dun. In the theater. And all of a sudden the curtains went up. People were waiting for this master pianist. The curtains went up and the boy is sitting there playing. Dun, 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 dun. Then he turned around and saw the crowd. He was petrified. And by that time, the master pianist came out and just put his hands around him and whispered in his ear, keep on playing. And he knew a Beethoven symphony in the same key, and he started playing the Beethoven symphony in the same key at the same pace. And then he brought in the woodwinds over here, and he brought in the brass over here, and he brought in the whole orchestra over here, and it became beautiful. What made the difference? The difference came when the master stepped in. And whatever you got going on in your life, you bring your little chopsticks and you do the best that you can. But when the master steps in, he can make some beautiful music. Do I have a witness in the house? When the woodwinds come in, when the brass comes in, when the orchestra plays, the Lord can make a difference in your life. Don't you limit God. Too many of us, Sarah looked at her situation. And she gave up on God. Sarah looked at her situation. She says, I'm old. My childbearing age is past. Somebody sitting out here today, you're looking at your situation. You says, I can't do it. You're looking at your situation. You says, you know, this is a bad economy. My business is failing. I just don't know if I can make it. Look at somebody and say, don't you limit God. Looking at somebody, you said the doctor gave you a bad report, you know, and you went to the doctor and he told you that you got prostate cancer, he told you got breast cancer, and you begin to sort of throw in the towel, but don't you look, the doctor might say that you're going to die, but the Lord hasn't said you're going to die yet. The Lord says, no, you will not die, you shall live. Whose report are you going to believe? I choose to believe the report of God the Father. I don't know about you. Don't limit God. Whatever you do, we're coming to install our offices in a few minutes. And when we get ready to do our installation, you're going to come. Sometimes you're going to look back in the choir. You're going to be looking for that certain lead, and they're not going to be here. And you're going to think, well, we can't sing. Don't you limit God. God has got a ram in the bush. Where's Yvonne at? God has got a ram. I didn't know that child could sing. God has got a ram in the bush. Don't you limit God. You look around, you're going to be looking for a youth leader. You're going to be looking for a deacon to be here. You might be looking for one of the ministers to be here. You might be looking for the musician to be here. And they may not be here, but don't you give up on God. God still got some music. God still got some Sunday school teachers. God still got some missionaries. God still got some deaconesses and some deacons and some trustees that they haven't even come forward yet. Don't you give up on God. God is able. Oh, what about your marriage? Feel like you're going to throw in the towel sometimes. You're going to quit. But let me tell you something. God can turn it around. If you just don't, I'm just through. I've had it. Well, maybe you have had it. But give God some time to work it out. He's able to work it out. He's able to turn it around. I don't know your situation, but I trust God. Take the limits off God. I don't serve a small God. I don't need no God that can't do no more than I can do. Do I have a witness in the house? I mean, I need one of those Jesus saved to the utmost. I need an utmost God. I need somebody who can pick up 195 pounds plus. I need a heavy lifter. I mean, I got sins as heavy. I need more than Clorox. I need the blood. I need the blood that will wash my sins away. I need the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I need a Savior on my side. I don't need a PhD. I need a Savior.
And then I need somebody who that I don't have to look for, but he's been looking for me. He's got an APB out on old sinful Jackson. And I like the fact that he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. How many of you know that sins can get heavy on you sometimes? And isn't it good to know that he welcomes you to the throne of grace? Isn't it good to know that the door is wide open? Isn't it good to know that he says, come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do I have a witness in here? Thanks be to God. Don't put limits on God. Amen.